This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we are about to get started here on the 2025 football season for the Kansas City Chiefs and for college football, getting prepared for the 2026 NFL draft. How you feeling, man? We're back now.
It feels good. It feels feels quite refreshing, actually, if you want to know the truth. I've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this all year. We shut things down around the draft. Still had a few shows sprinkled in here and there, but Character Concerns, it's good to start talking about the 2025 season as we, well, we didn't really put the season to bed because it kind of was still going through the draft for 24. So
right, yeah, we didn't.
That's when it kind of finally, even though the season was done, our season wasn't done until that. So new beginnings, I'm refreshed, ready to roll, looking at prospects. Love this draft coming up. Love it.
Yeah, it's shaping up. It's looking like it's a really good draft, especially at the quarterback position. Going to be really interesting to see how many first-round quarterbacks we have. We're going to start giving you previews on the 2026 class starting next week. But this week we want to focus on Kansas City Chiefs training camp, as a lot of interesting stories have come out, and also you have camp battles. So later on in this episode, we're going to preview camp battles and give you our winners, our ideal situations for the Chiefs at each one of these positions. But starting out with a little bit of news. First, training camp. They started reporting yesterday, and they're going to start practicing tomorrow. Tuesday, July 22nd.
Which today is Monday when we're recording this.
We record this on Monday, yeah. So they started reporting yesterday on Sunday the 20th. And yeah, practice starts on Tuesday the 22nd. And it ends Wednesday, August 13th. The very first preseason game that the Chiefs will play in is on Saturday, August the 9th against the Arizona Cardinals. Then after that, they will face off against Seattle 6 days later on Friday the 15th. And then finally, they will play against the Chicago Bears on the 22nd.
The most worthless of all worthless preseason games is this one.
Yeah.
Not saying the other ones are any good, but at least the starters play a little bit. Then that second one's kind of become the de facto old fourth game, ever. But that third game is like the fourth game, which is complete. Nobody plays.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't expect any of the starters. Yeah, there will be camp battles. I expect to see some of those guys who are fringe roster guys battling it out. And that's the reason why we want to talk about some of these battles, because some of these guys who are in these battles might be fighting for roster spots once we get to camp, or might be fighting at least for a starting spot. And so I would expect some of these guys to get a lot of playing time for sure. But first, let's talk about some news that has come out in regards to the Chiefs roster since last time that we were on, which was a month ago. First, starting out with right guard Trey Smith for the Chiefs. He signed a 4-year deal for $94 million a year. It's about $23.5 million AAV. That was a deal I think we were both pretty confident was going to happen. I think the last time we talked about it, we were like, hey, it's less than a month now. You have until the 15th of July to get a deal done. And I think we were both feeling like, yeah, this is more than likely going to happen, barring some crazy situation.
It's affordable because you do have to count these 2 years and the next 2 years.
Exactly.
It's basically painting the same. And then that fourth year, actually, it's only until he's 29. He can give his third NFL contract by the time he's 29, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Basically,
it's just extended. It's still had two more years, technically, because these guys have fifth-year options.
Well,
this would have been the fourth year.
Well, Trey was on a three. I was on a four-year deal.
Trey was on a four. Karloff's
five. I'm talking about Karloff. Yeah,
I'm talking about Trey.
I'm talking about Trey. Yeah.
Well, I get that. But with Karloff, well,
We'll get to Karloff this.
If we're talking Karloff, so I thought you said Karloff.
No, I said Trey. Yeah, no, Trey basically... he would be free agency right before he hits 29.
He was done this year.
And that was one of the things that we talked about, Trey definitely wants to hit free agency after the second contract before he turns 30.
Well, he's going to be just like Karloff does.
Yeah. Yep. So he's going to be he's looking for that third contract number. That's why he didn't want the 5-year deal. That was the year number that the Chiefs reportedly wanted. So he ended up winning out in the end on that. But basically a 3-year, $70 million deal.
Well, here's where the Chiefs save money. They thought the cap was going to be 270.
Yeah.
And the cap's actually almost 279.2.
Yeah, so it's almost 280. Yeah.
So they actually, it's like another 9 more million they weren't expecting. So
right.
The salary cap, I mean, it was at 208, I think, back in 21 or 22.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just flying, man. It's just flying up there.
Basically, with the deal that they have, they could save $24 million after the third year of Trey Smith's deal if they decided to cut him. So you're talking about, and they could also extend him as well, because, again, at that point, he'd be 28, 29 years old. So you're looking at a situation where he's going to be in a situation where you could probably it would make a lot of sense to sign him for maybe another 3 to 4 year deal, and you get some more value out of him. Now, moving on to the other deal, the deal that you alluded to, George Karloftis signs a 4-year deal for $93 million.
Got it mixed up because they're talking free agent when they're 29. Yeah, Same deal.
Yeah, in this case, yeah, Karloftis, he tacked on 4 more years. He had 2 years left on his rookie deal because year four plus fifth-year option. So basically now he's got 6 more years on his deal.
They haven't started paying the cash yet.
We don't know what his cap hits are going to be as far as like year to year. That has not come out yet. So if you go on SpotTrack, all it has is the estimates for
like
his numbers.
It's going to be $18.5 million on average if you include these 2 years. Not the end of the world for an edge rusher. Hey, actually, he's a top 10 edge rusher money. He'll be making top 10 money with this.
Right. I thought that if we're just going by based on the number that he had for new money, because to me the new money is more important than the rookie deal money, unless we find out that like the money on the new money on the deal is spread out over the final 2 years of his rookie deal, which I doubt, but we'll see. Then in terms of new money, it's 23.25 AAV. The thing that I do find interesting about it is that he got himself probably a little bit more than I think most people were comfortable with as far as paying. I think most people, like, you know, if he was like high teens, low 20s, like 21 top, 20, 21 tops, I think most people would be like, okay, that's fine. 23 and a quarter is a little high, but I still think the fact that the Chiefs did not pay him a top end deal, because like what Myles Garrett got 40 a year. Some of these guys, I think, was it T.J. Watt got 36 a year.
T.J. Watt set the mark at $41 million
per year. Oh, he got 41. I'm tripping. Yeah, he got 41.
For non-quarterbacks, Myles Garrett's number two at 40 now. So yeah. Obviously, he's coming up. But yeah. George Karloftis is his 10th. And look at this thing. I mean, the way I look at it, Chris, honestly, is I've seen some of the breakdowns. You're talking basically 6 years now, $112 million, $18.6 million. So it's actually... Like if you're
figuring the 2 years into
it. You know what, though? I mean, to be honest with you, he's got 10 and a half sacks, his career high. If he goes out this year and sets marks at 12, because I think Matt Mungo on the Chiefs is saying 14, I think he'd hit 12. You got to think, this could end up saving the Chiefs a lot of money by doing it now, because this will explode. If he hits those marks, that's going to explode. I think Trey Smith saved the Chiefs money, too, by not playing on the franchise tag and then becoming a free agent. And then you go to the highest bidder. You know, Chris, let a guard sign by the time you do, because we know it keeps going up. But I think both Trey Smith and Karloftis were beneficial to the Chiefs, to be honest with you.
Definitely, if Karloftis lives up to the value and exceeds that value, I think you're 100% right. I think he did. If he does continue to improve, like I think we hope and we think he will, then yeah, you're 100% right on that. But the thing is, are people going to be comfortable if he has reached at or near his ceiling? Because I think that's the big knock on him has always been, is he a product of Chris Jones?
Yes, you said it right there.
Or is he someone that can do it by himself?
No, seriously, it's a good question, because with or without Chris Jones is a good question.
Yeah.
Because, listen, Chris Jones is going to get double teams, and he's going to make the other guys better. I don't know what that says about Felix. because if all of a sudden Karloftis is the next guy in the block, and if those two guys and you're one of the extras, that's when you got to get the sacks. But I think here's the deal, man. You and I were here on draft day, and we had his coach on, Jeff Brohm, when he was drafted. Told you right then, we asked him about his motor, because he does have, I'm not saying Max Crosby, clearly he's not Max Crosby. There's not.
He has a Crosby-like motor.
Very high motor. And he's lived up to that. That was going to be his expectation. We've kind of joked around, like, hey, he did his pro day without a shirt on and freezing temperatures in West Lafayette, Indiana, Purdue. Like, this guy's – but he's lived up to that dude. He's been doing jiu-jitsu with Tom Bali in the offseason. This guy's been a pro's pro, and he's lived up to everything we said. I think the sack numbers, pressures were huge. Man, you're talking, like, in the 20s for pressures, like 28 pressures last year. If he can start converting some of those – into sacks, because that's always been his issue, getting there and then not bringing the quarterback down. He's left so many sacks on the field.
Yeah, and he's, I think it was third last year in quarterback hits overall in the league, so it's like...
He was like 28.
Yeah, so like he's a guy that has shown that he can generate pressure. The question is, can he get home? Can he actually finish? And so that's going to be, a big question for him. I think that's going to be something that people are going to scrutinize now that he does have that money coming in here in a couple years. People are going to be looking at that, and they're going to ask the question, can he actually improve his game?
It's huge, though, Chris. I mean, you think about the back-to-back. Man, listen, they've gone three straight Super Bowls, but when they went back-to-back, going back to Super Bowl 57 against the Eagles and the Niners, Chiefs were number two in the NFL in sacks. That dropped big time last year. They went all the way back to 18th. They were tied with the Bills in sacks last year. Karloftis leads the way with 8. I mean, it just shows you those numbers did come back from the Chiefs, obviously going out and getting Ashton Chalati and stuff like that in the draft to kind of improve this pass rush. Like, it needed to get better, because you want to make the secondary better? Secondary's going to be as good as the pass rush is. So with Karloftis getting the money, the incentive, hey, 10 and a half sacks he got 2 years ago, that's his career high. Honestly, with Omenihu back on that defensive line and Chris Jones doing their deal, I would not be shocked at all if he gets to 12. And I don't think that's a reach either, because of how many leaves on the field.
Yeah, I don't think it's a reach. I just think it's a matter of, like, we got to see it now. Like, this is going to be a year, because we talked about this even before the offseason started. It's like, for Karloftis, it's like, because I said that I thought they should probably wait a year to see if he does take that next step and is able to be a guy that's actually able to get home and start accruing those sacks. Because we know he can do it. It's just a matter of, is he going to do it?
And the good news is Jeff Brohm is obviously his head coach. Well, Brohm moved to Louisville and Gelati. So... And they kind of he kind of mentored him. Like, Karloftis was kind of his mentor. I think that helps push a guy, man. When you're mentoring somebody and that guy's going to turn around and push you, you know, hey, guy, you're on the same team now. It's a different deal, and he'll push you. So I think this ends up helping him in the long run. Like, hey, here's how you do it, my friend. Here's how you do it.
Yeah.
All right, and he's going to go out and show him. I just think that stuff kind of helps.
Yeah. Like I said, I hope he does take that next step forward. This is a lot of money to pay him. I think there's some reasonable doubt as far as him taking that next step forward. It is good, though, that they did not have to pay crazy money for him. Again, probably a little too much, and I think most people, myself included, were comfortable with, just when you see the AAV
number. But if you
spread
it out like mashed potatoes on a plate, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, Chris, if he goes out there and hits 12 and 14 sacks or something.
Oh, yeah, you got him on a great deal.
Yeah, I mean, you might be paying a third more than that.
You would absolutely be paying him in the mid-30s,
yeah, at least. Yeah, they couldn't afford it. If he went out and did that, so they're hedging their bet.
Right, very much. So the question now becomes, how does this affect a potential Trent McDuffie deal? And I understand there's a lot of skepticism that people have because they see all this money getting passed out here.
Of course it comes from.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think the Chiefs are going to have forgotten about McDuffie. Like, Nate Taylor has alluded to McDuffie still being a priority for the Chiefs
He's got two more years. I mean, so did Karloftis, but
right.
This year and the next year. So that's two seasons they still have under contract.
Here's the thing about McDuffie's deal. First off, you've got money on the books right now that you're not going to have on the books in a couple years. Chris Jones has, 2 years left on his deal? I don't think Chris Jones is going to be on the roster in two more years.
Yeah, I'll be, 32 at that point. Kelsey, I mean, that's going to be money after this season. That money's coming back to you. Rashee Rice isn't going to get near the deal that he thought he was.
Right. He's not
going to be worth because of the suspension and everything.
Because he's going into year three now.
So he's not going to break you to keep. Hollywood Brown, that money, I mean, he's not expensive anyway, but clearly, I mean, that money would be off the books, too, with him. You got all these other guys, Jalen Royals, all these guys in a rookie contract. So money's coming back, plus Mahomes will hit a restructure here.
And the way that they structure a lot of these deals, these guys don't make big money early, generally.
You're not paying crap for your backfield.
Yeah, so like most of the time, these guys are making, they start out, like usually the first year on these long-term deals, pretty nice number. You're talking about like $10, $12 million for that, or even less than that.
Your tight ends without Kelsey make crap.
Right.
Your running backs make crap.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, your receivers don't make that much in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you think about it, Chris. The only money guys on the offense making money, Mahomes, Creed, Trey, and you got rookie left tackle, first-round pick, but still, you got Sua Matias still getting that second round money. Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor's going to be off the books after this year.
Yeah, he's going to be off the books. But anyway, that money comes Mahomes, Creed, Trey.
Yeah. So it's like you and Karloftis at that point. So it's like you're talking about.
I was just looking at the offense.
Yeah. And again, we don't even know how much money Karloftis is even going to get on the first year of that deal. It might be another one where it's a pretty low number. So like we don't even know what the cap hits are going to be in 2027, which is the year that his contract his extension would kick in. It's like the way that these contracts are structured, you could play around with the money. You can push some of that money back because usually it's pretty light early, and then later on, that's when the big hits start kicking in. But you can kind of play around with that money now, too, so you can create some room. That's why a lot of these teams now are baking in void years to the deals so they can push money back, and then that money just gets tossed away at the end. So there's ways to get around all of this. And there's the teams are starting to perfect cap manipulation. I wouldn't sweat this, and certainly there's the point that people are making about the Chiefs don't pay corners, and it's like, how many examples do you have?
Well, Charvarius on the guy.
Ward, you're pointing at Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward was an elite corner.
Yeah, you didn't pay Snead because
knee injuries.
Yes.
One great year, and he was constantly hurt throughout his rookie
year. He was a great player. I love LeJarius Sneed. I love the versatility.
Oh, yeah, I was a big
great
fan. Player. He was never going to pay him.
He practiced one time at training camp last year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years ago. And the Chiefs are right. I mean, they rolled the dice. You know what? The Titans keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. Ask Will Levis, who's going to be out for the year with an injury. But they clearly made a mistake on this. But the Chiefs knew, man. McDuffie's a different animal. That dude's still
he's,
going.
He's only had one injury problem in his career is because he played on that bad turf in Arizona.
Got those picks last year, had none. Now he's got two. But that arrow is rising. And the question is, you can't pay everybody. You and I know that. You can't pay everybody. Well, Brett Veach's been very good in this draft, so let's face it. When you take a six-rounder like Trey Smith, and all of a sudden you're paying him more than any guard in the NFL, guess what? That's one of those net losses type things, in my opinion. Because you draft in the sixth round, you know what? You took advantage of that contract because you won rings. So that's a win. That's a win for the Chiefs. But when you draft sixth round, you pay him first-round money. Creed Humphrey, second-round pick. He's the highest-paid center in the National Football League. The Chiefs actually have four of the highest-paid players at their position in the NFL. If you took 11 from offense, 11 from defense, added the kicker and punter, they've got Jones, Trey Smith, Creed, and Harrison Butker. As far as those positions are the highest-paid in the NFL, you can't pay everybody, but at some point, Veach is kind of a victim of his own success. When you start taking these second-rounders, flip them into guys that are first-rounders, Chris Jones, I understand it wasn't of each guy they drafted, but think about it. Second-round pick getting first-round money. I mean, Creed wasn't first-round. Trey Smith was sixth-round. Yeah, Harrison Butker wasn't even drafted. So I'm talking four of the highest-paid position players in the NFL. None of them were first-round picks.
Yeah. My thing, though, about the McDuffie deal is just the way that they – because it's kind of in waves how they're paying these guys. They can play around with that money. They could play around with Mahomes' contract. Mahomes, they could completely redo his deal in a few years.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's due for a flip anyway on that.
Yeah, you can redo his deal.
When he sees these other quarterbacks are making?
Yeah.
Going, all right, guys. All right, let's flip. I understand. It's the $500 million. It's the $500 million.
Right.
And he's going to get it. They just massage you on how much you're getting per year. You see these things all the time. Mahomes is the seventh highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That's crap, to be honest with you, because he's higher than that. It's just they smush it.
Well, his cap hits are some of the highest in the league for the position because most of these guys are their cap hits are pretty low right now. Cause like we're going by AAV and like most of these guys haven't touched their AAV yet. And the way that these contracts are structured, a lot of that money's still getting pushed back. Mahomes will never touch the AAV that people are talking about there. Cause he's always going to push money back. That's the reason why he signed that deal. But the way that they handle these deals financially, they have room. People were saying the same thing in 2020 after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and then they re-signed Chris Jones to a deal, and then they re-signed Mahomes to a deal, and the thing goes, oh man, the salary cap doesn't matter. How do they have all this?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
There's money to pay all these people, and I think they paid Travis Kelce, too. And they were just fine because you find ways to get around
the second
cap
ring
when
they
need
got
to.
Against the Eagles. You know what they did? They had a 7th round picks. They had Pacheco led the team in rushing, right? Nazi Johnson played special teams. Jalen Watson got some corner action. You know what those guys were? All 7th round picks. So you had 3 guys that contributed to a championship team making 7th round money. That's how you do it.
So, probably a really great news, I think, from the rookie front. Omar Norman Lott, defensive tackle out of Tennessee. The Chiefs signed him to his rookie deal. What was it? The last time we were on only...
By the way, this week.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Camp's coming up now. There had only been one... Actually, no, was it... Last time we were on, was it one or two second-round deals?
30 out of 35 second-rounders were still available. Yeah. Hadn't signed yet.
But yeah.
The problem is... Higgins, the Texans.
Jaden Higgins with the Texans.
And Carson Schwesinger. They screwed it up because they essentially got guaranteed deals.
Well, they didn't screw it up.
Well, they didn't screw it up. But all the other teams. So anyway, there's still one first rounder not signed. Shamar Stewart, we'll get to him. Yeah. But the second rounders last year, way before this amount of time, they were already signed, all of them. The problem is when the first 2 guys got guaranteed contracts and everybody else, like Norman Lott, and the rest of them are like, hold on a second, want my guaranteed money. But Tyler Shuck was in that group too and all that. He just signed today. They're just flying off the shelves.
Now, we don't know the financials on Norman Lott's deal.
I'm curious about this.
I'm actually doubtful he got the fully guaranteed deal. I think his agency would have published that if he did. Because all the other guys that did, their agencies were publishing that pretty quickly when they put it out there. Because you want that out there. Hey, we beat these teams and we forced them to pay our players the fully guaranteed deal. I haven't seen it. Maybe there is confirmation that he did get it. But as far as I've seen, there has been none. So it makes me believe he didn't get that deal.
Well, it's good that he's done. I mean, he went to the rookie mini camp and did all that.
He did everything in the offseason. Like, there was no holdout, basically.
He didn't do anything wrong because all the guys are doing this essentially second rounder. So he just did it. I'm glad he signed, though.
Me too.
He signed and is at training camp to get this deal done before they hit the St. Joe. It did become a storyline because Andy Reid hates storylines, even though he's going to be answering one all year about Josh Simmons and Jalen Moore. But it's a different story.
Well, I think the question now is, like, how does this affect the draft in the long term if you've got second-round players getting these guaranteed deals? And I think the question really kind of becomes now.
Pandora's box open.
Does this kind of – because we talked about this during draft season. A lot of these players were opting to not stay. I mean, to not go into the draft because they were like, hey, I'm getting more money playing in college than I am playing in the pros.
Neil changed the draft, and then all of a sudden, the next year it's going to be third rounders,
right? And it's the thing is like that makes me wonder is like if there's
and that's where I think it stops. To be honest,
I think so too. I don't think it's going to go into day three, but like the question is if it does extend into complete full second day, everybody gets guaranteed deals. I wonder if that's going to push. I wonder if it's going to be like a big CBA negotiation where it's like, because I don't know if you know how like NBA rookie deals work.
This will be addressed.
Where it's like NBA rookie deals are, it's a 2-year deal.
The union never gets a leader.
Yeah, you get, it's a 2-year deal.
Until you and I are at the head of the union.
Right, yeah. It's like you're talking about like a 2-year deal with 2 team options on the final 2 years. And it's fully guaranteed, but it's like, it's only the last 2 years are only guaranteed if the team opts to pick up your option. So I wonder if that's the solution. That's kind of the middle ground there, and it allows teams to still get out of contracts if the player sucks.
I don't think anybody truly knows, Chris, and I think this Shamar Stewart thing,
right?
I'll be honest with you. I talked about it last week when I was on there. I was like, doing the after hours, I was like, this is going to be, I mean, this is nothing just to kind of sneeze at what's going on with Shamar Stewart and the Bengals.
This is massive.
This is massive because this could change the whole complexion. Shamar Stewart, first-round pick, the only first-round pick not signed. And by the way, the Bengals had the last first-round pick to sign last year. Marius Mims, the last last year, and Shamar Stewart. And he's been working at A&M. People started speculating, could this guy go back to college? First of all, the rule is you can't. Once you're drafted, you can't. But yeah. I'll say this. He can't right now, but the whole landscape of football has changed in college because the name, image, likeness, everything. If he sued, I can't say he wouldn't win.
I doubt it. But also, even if he does, the Bengals will still retain his draft rights next year.
That's not true. The Bengals wouldn't until week 10.
Oh, really?
If he goes back in the draft next year, they don't hold his rights. Okay. Not only that, there's an even further caveat. They can't draft him again.
Really?
So not only does he go back, only till week 10. They have his rights till week 10.
Okay.
And then that was the big misnomer.
Yeah, because that had been floating around for a while.
I told Drew, too. I said, because there's stories. And I said, Drew, your dude, Bengals can't draft him. He can go back into the draft next year, but he's got to win the court case to go back to A&M. Now,
he would have to win the court case,
though. He could, but here's the thing, and here's the precedent, Chris. The NBA allows you to do it now because the NBA will have that combine, right, in June.
The NBA does, but I think their rule is you cannot hire an agent.
You can't hire an agent, but things are changed now because these players do have it. Agents,
right?
And it's different.
So I'm not sure that he wins that court case.
Well, I don't know though. Pandora's box is open, man. Once you can hire agents now, and you know it becomes different. That was the big holdup, Chris. That was the whole thing about you can't go back to college because you hired an agent, right? Well, guess what? They all got agents now. Name, image, and likeness. They all have that.
But there's a lot of those players that do enter the draft for college that do return. They don't hire agents specifically because of that.
They're not certified agents. They're certified nil agents, basically. But here's
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
But that's a fine line, right? That can be argued.
Right.
Here's the thing. I just think because they're being paid now. I'll be honest with you, Chris. I mean, that's first round money. It might be he's not going to get that kind of money in nil. But here's the thing about Shamar Stewart. A&M, they got boosters. Here's a guy that went in the first round of the NFL. We want to have a first rounder, despite what you and I think about Shamar Stewart. Not a huge fan of him.
Yeah.
But if they said 1.5 sack last year, but A&M screwed up everybody. But if Booster comes back and says, you know what, I'll give you $2.5 million. I want a first rounder to come back to be an edge rusher this season. And all of a sudden, you're looking at that plus last year's money. These guys used to come in the NFL. They're hungry, man. They want to take care of their mom, want to take care of your dad, want to take care of brothers and sisters, want to buy the houses. They won money. And you know what? Nowadays, they're staying in college because that money's coming right to you, man. It's just coming right to you from name, image, likeness. And he's got the cachet because he's a first-round pick. So I'm just saying, I think the lines are blurred now to where if Shamar Stewart, let's say, did sue, he could happen. We've seen the NBA because guys can go back to college now. This would be landmark, though, because that is the deal is, Chris, he could skip. The Bengals couldn't draft him again. He can go back in the 26th draft, which is huge. But normally we look at this, Chris, and go, "That's you're costing yourself money because you got to recoup that money." Keep this in mind. He is 21. Like, if he did sit out and go back in, I doubt he's a first-rounder again, to be honest with you. But could he go make $2.5, $3 million this year? Possibly. And then get second- or third-round money? It might actually not cost him money doing it. And he would have to play for the freaking Bengals.
Here's I think, probably the biggest issue with him holding out the entire year. First off, the provision that he's holding out for is not – the Bengals aren't the only team that's doing it. Most teams in the NFL have that provision in their contracts. That's the reason why it's become a big issue, because teams have been starting to slip that into their contracts.
Yeah.
So the problem is this. He's going to have to go through the same thing next year too. And that's the problem.
Well, some teams have a lot. Most teams don't.
Almost every team has that provision in their contract.
Some of them. Bengals have never had it though.
The Bengals just put it in this year. But almost every team in the league has that very same
Mims
provision.
Mims didn't have this.
Mims did not have it. The Bengals just put it in this year.
And you know what?
The Bengals are like one of, if not the last team to.
But
put
I don't
it
understand
in
what they're saying is if you contract. Go to jail or can't play or something, we're not paying you. That to me, that's common sense.
Now I disagree with that. With that. In there, because it's not just go to it could be for anything.
It could be for any issue,
and they could void the entirety of your guarantee.
I know the way I look agree. At it, Chris. I'm like, I'll sign it. I'll freaking go eat freaking Minsky's pizza.
Yeah,
every
that's
night.
Fine. That's fine. I completely understand where Shamar Stewart's coming from. I think though, it's like because almost every team has that provision in their contracts. This is a no-win situation for Shamar. But you just brought up, I think he's almost assuredly not going to be a first-round pick.
One and a half sacks last year. I think the Bengals reached on him this year, and the Bengals do stupid things in the draft, so it took a stupid team to do a stupid move, and that team was the Bengals. And then I think this sitting out does hurt him with a lot of teams that would look at and say, well, I don't know if we want this guy, because how much does he really want to play? But what I'm saying about A&M, and he doesn't look like he's going to. He's just down there training with him. I get that.
Because he's probably going to cost himself, like, millions of dollars.
I think he'll play with the Bengals, to be honest with you.
I think so, too.
But I'm saying,
let's say he holds out. He's almost assuredly not a first-round pick, and he's probably costing himself millions of dollars in guaranteed money.
Third-rounder, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but I think he's probably a third, if not fourth-rounder.
So, because, I mean, one and a half sack last year. Now, if he goes back to A&M, let's say he wins a court case and he plays, and he goes out and explodes for, like, 12 sacks or 13, then you'd be like, okay.
He might have a shot then.
Back in the first round, probably going alive, maybe top 10.
Maybe. We got to see how the draft
plays
out.
But the bottom line is you're drafting the guy, and you have to question whether you really want this guy and how much does he want to play.
Again, I said the big thing is not very productive. I mean, he was basically drafted for trades.
You remember when Kevin Wilcox joined us, head coach of Cal? We're talking about Noel Williams. He said two type of players. He says those that love the game of football and want to get better at football, and those that enjoy being a football player.
Yeah.
Meaning the money, the checks,
the lifestyle, the women, all that. Yeah,
two different types of players.
Yeah.
I think Shamar might be in the other club.
He might be. And I don't think there's anything wrong
with that.
But I think at the same time, it's like there's a lot of teams out there that don't want draft players in that category.
That's why they ask at the combine all the time, do you like football? Yeah. And that's a legitimate question. Do you love football?
How much do you love this game?
How much do you love football? You want? You
know, like I said, I've got no problem.
Mahomes? Eddie loves football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He took less money to make sure this team
quarterbacks.
Wins. Oh no, they're trying to get every last buck, but not Mahomes. Mahomes leaving a lot of money on the table. But like I said, my point is that I think this is a lose-lose situation for both sides. So I agree with you. I think he does play this year. I think he does probably in the middle of camp decide to agree to a deal play.
They lose Jermaine Pratt to the Raiders. He was 10th in the NFL in tackles last year.
Well, they cut him.
Led the team in tackles. He was 10th in the NFL in tackles. So he gets gone. Trey Hendrickson's pissed off. And then
though supposedly they're close on a deal.
But he's still pissed. He's been pissed for 2 years
he's been pissed
for 2 years. Anarumo's gone, their defensive coordinator. Yeah. To be honest with you, not a great defensive coordinator, but there's one thing that Lou Anarumo did. He learned how to beat the Chiefs. Like, not a lot of guys know that, but he did. That was one thing about the Bengals.
I think Anarumo's better than he gets credit for. He just didn't have good talent.
But the big thing in the NFL that you got to stop for other teams, you got to stop the Chiefs. He knew how to do it.
He definitely did. You know what to slow him down.
Yeah, he was the best of shutting down Mahomes. And, I mean, that's what you got to be good at. But regardless, they need a defense. They draft a defense. And now this. I mean, it's kind of laughable if you're Chiefs fans. It's the Bengals, man.
When you look at the Jamar Chase situation, especially the T. Higgins situation.
Oh, T. Higgins getting that money.
This is the story of the Bengals thus far.
T. Higgins is going to be selling Geico in 3 years.
Man, they
he's always hurt.
Essentially by waiting on Chase, they probably ended up paying him probably $8 million a year more.
Chase is the best in the NFL.
Seven or eight
no
a year
arguments
more.
Here. Jamar Chase is worth every penny. He's a game changer. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL, in my opinion. To be honest, it's not even close. I mean, there's great receivers in the game.
I would take Justin Jefferson over him, but I think you can make a good case.
I'd take Jamar Chase. Honestly, I'd probably take him over anybody. His physicality, the way he plays the position, I know we're not talking about that specifically, but regardless, I think T. Higgins fine, but he's an ancillary player. It's backup of what Jamar does, but that money probably should have gone to other places.
Hell, they should have paid Jesse Bates instead of letting him go to ATL a couple years
Jermaine
ago.
Make Jermaine Pratt happy. Hell, take care of Hendrickson, who's led the NFL in sacks by the last 2 years.
Yeah, last 2 years, yeah. So let's get on to these camp battles here. Main positions where you're going to see these players battle it out. And not all of these are going to be for a starting spot. Some will, some won't. Going to start with the running back position. So I don't think that RB1 is necessarily, there's much of a battle for it. If you were to make a case, it'd be Pacheco versus Kareem Hunt. I don't think that there's much of a battle there. I think Pacheco's going to be the number one running back. Kareem Hunt going to be third down, short yardage, goal line guy. The interesting guys are Elijah Mitchell and Breshard Smith. because Elijah's a guy that they brought in. They paid probably a little bit more money than I think we expected him to get from the team. And then they go out in the seventh round. They drafted Breshard Smith out of SMU, converted wide receiver from when he was at Miami to running back. I think the question really is, who's running back three at this point? And if can that running back three work their way up the depth chart? Because I think right now I would give that advantage to Elijah Mitchell just because we've seen him do it at the NFL level before. And I think Breshard might take him a little bit because he's only played 1 year of running back and he did it at SMU. But the question becomes, can we see one of those two guys on the bottom work their way up and get some meaningful touches this year? Because you expect Pacheco and Hunt to dominate the running back position for them.
Well, I think Pacheco for sure. I mean, I'd like to say Hunt for sure, but there's just no telling, man. The NFL.
He's 30, I think.
Listen, he stayed in shape last year. I give him credit because he wasn't on a team. He stayed in shape through training camp. Chiefs call him. You know what? He came in, was great shape, whatever. But the NFL, you fall off the bus fast, man. So, I'm counting on Hunt. Let's say you get to St. Joe. I think he will, though. I think Kareem Hunt's going to be fine. He's a pro's pro. The fact he showed up last year, I think you can count on him not falling off that cliff, to be honest with you. I do. But how many running backs are they going to keep? Because that is the concern. Last year, they kept three. That was it. Edwards-Helaire, Carson Steele, and Pacheco. And Carson Steele essentially is a fullback. It's the math game because they've kept seven wide receivers last year, seven the year before, only five the year before that. So if you keep seven receivers, and I do think they will become close to that number this year.
Yeah, they might.
The same because of, you know, Rice is going to have a pending suspension. He won't count against your roster. But I think Tyquan Thornton and those guys make noise and can make this team. But then where do you put Carson Steele? Are you going to say, okay, we're going to keep a fullback? If you keep a fullback, he's it. And he's made the team. He's a fullback. And then what are you doing? You keep just two running backs or three? Because Steele can play halfback as well. Now, if they just cut Steele and put him on the practice squad, then you can keep four, and then you make one of your tight ends an H-back. Honestly, the rarity they use fullbacks, having a Jared Wiley, a Noah Gray, somebody like that as an H-back in the backfield from that tight end position makes about as much sense to me. Hell, Kareem Hunt can come in and do that and have Pacheco behind him or something. I mean, you can get the job done if you want to play the math game. But you got to be careful. You keep seven receivers and four tight ends, and all of a sudden – that running back room gets thinner. I think it's going to be very tough for Carson Steele to make the team.
I don't think Carson Steele makes the team. I think that really...
I could see him on the practice squad, though.
I could see him on the practice squad, too. But I also think that some other team might try to scoop him up as well because maybe he's a better fit for another system that's more power-oriented as far as running the football. He does have a fumble issue, but... You know, I think maybe there's another team out there that thinks that he can fix that issue.
That'd be solved. Andy Reid probably had him carry a football around.
Oh, I'm sure they had him carrying a football around the rest of the year after those fumbles in Atlanta. But I think it's three running backs they keep. So the question really becomes Elijah Mitchell, Breshard Smith. I think you give Elijah Mitchell the edge because of his experience, but we also have to take into account that Elijah Mitchell is an injury-prone running back.
He is.
And he had a great rookie year, and the last 3 years, he wasn't that good, and then last year, he didn't even play football.
He ran a 4.32 at his pro day. It was faster
real fast.
Than his 4.38 at the combine. Breshard's like 4.39 guy.
Yeah.
Breshard's on this team.
Yeah.
And honestly, being a seventh-round pick this year, I think he's probably a fifth or fourth-round pick the year before, to be honest with you. I mean, I know he was seventh round, but I don't look at him like that because I honestly think he could at least at minimum been a fifth round pick.
They at the very minimum might keep him just as a return guy.
But he'll be on this team. So Breshard's on this team, Pacheco's on this team, Kareem Hunt's on this team. You start. But injuries always happen. I mean, knock on wood, but it always does. We know
it might be a situation where Elijah ends up being a little, because I think his dead cap is like $1.5 million, $1.25 million, something like that.
If they keep four running backs, they are no way in hell keeping a fullback.
No chance of hell. I don't think they're keeping a fullback anyways.
Either.
I think even if they keep three running backs, I don't think there's a fullback.
I'm just saying you can do an H-back role with these tight ends.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can keep an extra tight end because of it.
Right, yeah. I don't think that fullback is on the table. So now we get to the wide receiving core. I put wide receiver four down, but really we could also talk about wide receiver. We could also talk about, like, is there going to be a six or a seven? I think there's going to be at least six, Maybe seven. We'll see.
Who are we giving? Worthy?
So we got Rashi Rice. We got Hollywood. We got X. So that's three.
It's three.
And we got Jalen Royals.
Royals would be your four.
We got Juju.
Juju five.
So that's five that I think for sure are making the team.
Well, now we got two spots. There could be a chance where Juju does that. We'll just see.
I don't think his health. I don't think Juju.
It's always been a health issue too with Juju. If he's in the same shape as he was in New England and the knee didn't heal itself or stuff like that, so that'd be a question.
I still think they would keep him even if his knee's not great.
Well, they probably will.
They're not going to ask a whole lot of him, honestly.
He's probably on this roster.
I think if you get to Juju, if Juju is playing significant time, then you have a similar situation with Jalen.
Then that leaves Thornton, Nico. Tyquan Thornton, Nico Remigio.
Sky Moore still somehow on the roster.
I think Sky will be gone.
I think so too.
Honestly, I think it'll be Thornton and Nico Remigio make the team.
I think Thornton for sure is making the team. I think he's got the skill set that Andy likes. He's got the speed that Andy likes.
4.29 speed, by the way. Hey, by the way, he actually beat John Ross's record. He tied Xavier. Well, he was before Xavier Worthy, but 4.21 is what he had. And he thought he had it for at least an hour or two. But then he went back and looked at the film and stuff like that at the combine. And so they gave him like a 4.28, which for an hour and a half or whatever, he thought he beat John Ross and had a 4.21, which he's blazing ass fast. Yeah. And a second round pick.
I think Thornton for sure makes the team unless he has a disastrous camp. And then, yeah, I could see Remigio. I do not see. I think Sky Moore's done.
I think Sky's done.
Yeah. I think, look, man, they've given Sky a lot of chances. I think last year when we saw them cut Kadarius Toney, even though his contract was guaranteed for that year, I think that was the precedent. Like, hey, and obviously, like we know, like John, you know, Justin Ross, he ended up requesting his release. They waived him last week.
I think they like him because he's not a whiner. You know what I mean? The skill set's not matched what you thought you were getting out of college, right. But he's never really been a complainer.
No,
he's been a grinder.
Yeah, no, I think.
Oh, don't forget about Badger too.
Elijah, you know what?
Nico and Badger, because they like Elijah Badger.
One
of those guys, either Tyquan, Nico, or I think Elijah Badger makes his team.
I think Badger might get in over Remigio.
He could.
I think he might.
They like him.
When I was doing this podcast solo for a few months where you were recovering from.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your health issues. I talked about Badger extensively late in the year because I watch, obviously, Florida guy. But like he's a Andy Reid bottom of the depth chart guy. He's a DeMarcus Robinson, another Florida guy type of guy.
Mahomes talk about him, like him.
And they actually had good chemistry.
And
in
they
camp.
Like he liked Thornton too, because they Andy talked about him. But
dude,
if those
Thornton's,
guys bring
Thornton's
you,
his type of dude.
If those guys bring up your name,
and Thornton's that's really a good. Thornton's a Mecole Hardman type. Yeah. Gadget speed guy type. Like he did show a little something when he was
faster
in
faster now. He's the reason why he's a second round pick. His problem is route. Like,
yeah, he's not a good route runner
at this point. Now, well, he spent some time Chiefs practice squad. So
I don't think he's gonna be a good route runner.
We'll see if he refines himself. But I'll tell you this much: through any camp, Mahomes and Andy Reid talked about Taekwon.
Yeah, and I think Taekwon's gonna make the team for sure. I think he's gonna make the team for sure. And I think you're right. I think Badger might sneak in above
Remigio. Because the kickoff now is at the 30. Touchbacks are placed at 35 instead of 30. So now more teams will be expecting returns and more teams. Like having a. That's why the Chiefs drafted returners. I mean, even Jalen Royals had it this past. I mean, they went for guys to had punt return and kick return in their past.
And I think
Richard too.
And I think the thing with Badger, like Badger's, I think is a decent route runner. But I think you're talking about like a DeMarcus Robinson type, catch and run type of guy. Can play. You know, he's a little bit bigger. He can play down the field, but he's not a deep threat. But you know, he's one of those guys. He can make one of those catches over the middle. Like I think there might be something there. We're talking about bottom end of the receiving corps. I think it might be better than we've seen for a while.
These are positions that they're not going to matter. It's not. But you know, special teams stuff like that. I mean,
they might keep seven. They really might keep seven.
I fully expect. These guys, if not picked up, they will be on the practice squad at some point. And not only that, you can elevate two practice squad guys a week. Could I see them week six playing for the Chiefs to be on the roster? Yeah. Yes. I think at some point we'll see all these guys, except for Sky.
Yeah. I didn't put it on the rundown. Tight ends, though, I think the big question is how many tight ends do they keep? Obviously, you have Kelsey,
Noah Gray,
you have Noah Gray.
Jared Wiley's healthy.
And then you have Jake Brennan still, who's going to be the camp darling this year.
He will be. He will be. But if they do keep four, and we'll say Jake comes in here and he's just a hell of a blocker, and they're like in that H-back role, that's a way to make the team, man. Hey, can you play fullback as well? We don't need you to carry it. We just need you to block. Can you do that?
The question I have is this.
But he wasn't drafted. There's a reason why you're not drafted.
Yeah, there's a reason why you're not drafted. The question I have is this is like, because I think the best way he makes the team is not as a blocker. I think the best way he makes the team is as a receiver.
Which he's got great hands. We know that.
Yeah. If he can catch, if he blows everyone away in the preseason, I think they might keep four.
Oh, and he will. He'll have like three catches. He'll three catches, 31 yards some game. And
yeah, and then everyone's going to be like, oh, they got to keep him. They got to keep him. Yeah, because you know that's how it works every time.
Man. Three for 31.
That's how it works. Because you know what? You know who did the same thing a few years ago? It was Jody Fortson.
Oh, yeah.
Jody Fortson, he had a hell of a preseason. What was that in... Is that 22, I think?
We've seen Chiefs receivers do it.
And all of a sudden, everybody's like, you got to keep Jody. You know
Justin Ross.
They kept Jody.
They finally cut.
Yeah.
You know, Justin Ross was a preseason hero.
Yeah, he was for the longest time. Everyone at camp was like, oh, man, this is going to be our guy.
I see Taekwon like getting like an 80-yard touchdown. Everybody going, whoa, like Gardner.
Dude, watch like first drive. They run some type of play. They run play action. They bomb it to Taekwon.
I like Taekwon and all that, but I mean, let's bring it back a little bit.
Taekwon is going to be for sure a camp darling.
Gardner hits him for 80.
Yeah.
That's another guy. I can't wait to see him. I think
I am interested to see Gardner.
The Chiefs got a home run. I only said that because it'd be the backup quarterback throwing deep to Taekwon. I'll tell you this much. I do like what the Chiefs did. And listen, it's not a guy. You have Mahomes. I get that. I actually like Gardner better than I have the other backups they've had on his team.
Way
I like
bigger
Gardner.
Fan of him than Wentz.
I like Gardner Minshew. I think it's the best backup quarterback they've had.
Me too. I agree with you on that. The best backup quarterback they've had since Patrick Mahomes was the backup quarterback for sure.
Yes. to Malik Smith. I gotta remember that Mahomes is the backup.
Yeah, for a year. Yeah.
Which is still insane.
Which is crazy because he was better than Alex.
He won the MVP the next year. You tell me he just got good?
Yeah, no, he was better than Alex. That was Andy doing his boy a favor.
I still want to know what happens if he gets put in that Titans game.
Oh my God. I think they win.
Because they wouldn't have known. They wouldn't have no film on me. Dude.
I think they win that game.
I do too, Chris.
The left guard battle is going to be, I don't think this one's going to be as exciting as we'd been talking about. I think this one's Kingsley's job. It's Kingsley and Mike Caliendo are the two guys.
Well, actually, he gave it to Kingsley, the starting tackle
job.
They basically
have given him the job.
He must have pictures or something.
Yeah, dude, he got something on Andy, bro. He got something.
No, it's a BYU love.
No, I think this is Kingsley. Unless Kingsley has a disastrous run like he had at the beginning of last season, I think that's Kingsley's job.
You and I talked to him when he was drafted. I mean, the only thing we really agreed on with Kingsley, well, I think we agreed a lot with Kingsley, but we kept coming back to his athleticism.
Yeah.
The fact with that size, that frame, being able to move. I mean, this guy can be – the Chiefs love to pull their guards. This guy can – one thing we've always said, Chris, is he can get out in space.
Yep.
Even a tower, he can get out in space. So, like – but Caliendo's been that, you know, constant glue guy that they've had they can depend on. Kingsley can be a difference maker. He can make your line better. Caliendo makes it serviceable.
Caliendo, I think, is the safer option.
But we know Kingsley's athleticism and what he can do, especially in space. And that's why I really, you know, with him on one side, because they got to do something, because that right side of their line, same. Like Juwan Taylor, Trey Smith,
continuity.
Humphrey, nothing changes. Left guard, left tackle.
Yeah.
So actually, I know people keep talking about the Simmons Moore battle and all this. This one is huge. Left guard. Guard's not as important as tackle. We know that. I want to see Kingsley's progression.
Me too. I'm going to be paying very close attention to the left side of the line.
He played Denver game of guard, so we'll see.
And I thought he did pretty well in that game. This is going to be important for him. Because I don't think the Chiefs are going to play around this year. I think if he has the kind of start he did last year, Caliendo's going to be in there, and that's going to be his job unless something crazy happens. And even then, they might try to find some maneuverability around to get someone else in there instead of Kingsley. You can't put Kingsley out there if he plays like the way he did last year, this year,
and
at a safer position.
Ability and not where they drafted him. You don't want them looking upon this like Sky Moore. Thinking, wow, we can't have two second rounders.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point. If he's not good enough to be a starting guard, then he can't be out.
I think Sky Moore got extra grease with this team because he was second rounder.
Me too. I agree with that.
Sky Moore's drafted in the sixth round, seventh round?
He'd be gone.
Yeah, he's already.
He would already been gone. He'd have been gone after 2 years.
He's in the UFL.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think he would have been on the roster last year.
He's the Birmingham Stallions.
Yeah, he would have been celebrating. He would have been on the Battle Hawks. He would have been playing on the other side of the state.
And probably destroying things.
Yeah, he should probably be good there. And then the other battle on that offensive line is at that left tackle spot. We talked about that the last time we did this podcast and about the ideal situation there. I still say this, and I know like – right now, what's his name? Juwan Taylor, right tackle, is on the PUP list, starting out there. Though Andy said he's not that far from coming back, but he is on the PUP right now.
He could be looking at, you know, week in the camp and he's back.
Exactly. So, you know, ideally you would like to see him out there getting some reps at some point.
Would he start with Wanye maybe?
I would think Wanye starting out at right tackle. I said this before. It's like the only way I'm comfortable
putting Simmons over there
more. I mean, Moore to me would be the better option of the two.
Yeah, because Jalen Moore went to Western Michigan. They were teammates, but he went as a tight end.
Right.
Like that just shows his versatility and athleticism.
Yeah. My thing is this.
But he's a left tackle.
The only way that Simmons should be the starter this year is if he just outright wins that job in training camp.
Oh, yeah, nothing.
Don't
be
gift
given him
like you did Kingsley last year, where the minute you put on pads, you're like, Kingsley, it's your job.
I keep cautioning people, too, because that's the one thing. And, you know, I wasn't wild about the pick. It's been documented.
But yeah.
Let's face it. Now I'm bought in. Let's do it, man. I want to see this team succeed, not fail. So let's go. I mean, I'm for this now. But I would caution people because Andy Reid told everybody, and they're like, oh, man, pencil him in. He's just starting. He's ready to roll. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid said he should be ready to go. Here's the thing. But then he said something that never made the headlines, never made the press. He kept going and said, but he hadn't seen live action.
Right.
You know, he hasn't seen. So That's the difference. When he was there, shorts and shirt, man. He was out there practicing, yeah. He's still not fully lifting at this point, I don't think. I haven't heard he's back.
I haven't heard he's fully lifting.
But he hadn't seen live action since October of last year when he played for Ohio State when he's hurt in that Oregon game. So practicing against Oregon in that Oregon game is the last contact he got because he didn't face some of the best pass rush. Mike Green of Marshall was the first round that he actually faced, and he faced him like twice. So when you're up there and you got guys, like say what you want about Felix and Ashton Gelati and all these guys, they want to kick his ass, man.
Yeah,
they do.
Everyone of these guys is fighting for spots.
These guys want a job in the National Football League. So, yeah, until you see live action, I'm not counting any. I'm excited about it. Would I be shocked if they came out tomorrow or Wednesday and said, Andy goes, we're going to put Josh on the pup list, kind of hold him back a little bit. Yeah, it's fine.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
You got him for 5 years. If he ends up working out, that's a monumental hell of a pick that goes down with one of Brett Veach's best moves if he ends up working out for this team because they need it. They desperately need that left tackle. But I just caution people to say, he's ready to go. Well, again, get in there, full lifting, and stop me. And I'm not doubting he can't do it. If he does do it, huge.
I just want him to win the job. I don't want him to be given the job like Kingsley did last year.
I think because Moore was a big-time free agent for him, as far as I think that helps. If Jalen Moore was already on this team, a fifth-round pick from a couple years ago, I think it hurts him.
Yeah,
but
I think
that they brought him in here, and he has that experience behind Trent Williams and Frisco and all this. I think because he was pretty much their big free agent, that helps Jalen Moore.
Yeah, like I said, I want to see if Josh wins. If Josh gets the job, I want him to win it. I don't want him to be given it. I don't want it to be a default situation. I want it because he won it. Because then at that point, I know he's the man for the job.
You don't want to go in there with number 15 and try to explain to him why his left tackle is evolving.
Because I'm telling you this right now, I guarantee you Mahomes has been very influential in the fact that they re-signed Creed and Trey.
Oh, Mahomes is all about
guarantee
it, man.
You he's that he was hair, in there. Like, bro, you better get Trey back too.
Hey.
He I want both
hair,
of them back.
Low profile, and he's ready to kick some ass, man.
Yeah.
He didn't. I saw him with Kay Adams. He didn't even care the NFL top 100 guys. Like he used to care about stuff like that, but he's been disrespected.
I don't
before.
Think he cares.
I mean, he's been number one before, but he was like, "No, I don't care." He's flat out said it because I know you're going to bring it up. I no big deal. Like he is that dude. That dude's wants some, man.
Yeah,
the dude wants some.
I think that loss in the Super Bowl back in February really
that dude wants some.
It was different.
And
it was
now
different
that whole series is coming on ESPN. The Kingdom going to be released in August.
Yeah,
and it's going to remind everybody of the ultimate goal was a failure.
Yeah,
I mean that's magnified once again on national TV. So yes, he's going to be pissed off.
Couple more battles here. One defensive tackle. Obviously, Chris Jones is going to be doing his thing, but the other defensive tackle role I don't think is defined right now. You've got Jerry Tillery, the signing they got originally with the Chargers.
Actually, really
Vikings
like Tillery
last
out of the draft,
year.
Man.
Yeah,
he's got to perform, but he's a big dude.
Yeah, Tillery's a guy who has not really he's not broken out in his career, but a lot of people liked him.
Great rotational piece.
Yeah. And then the other one is Omar Norman Lott, the second round pick out of Tennessee, guy that I loved. Coming out of
Don't
there.
Don't forget about Pinnell, part of the equation, too. He's got rings with this team.
Right. I think Pinnell, though, is going to be more of a early – he's going to be a first down guy.
He's
but
a run stuffer, man. He's coming out here to –
exactly.
Like
so the question is, like, who's going to be the pass rushing option? Tillery or Norman Lott? I think that battle is going to be really big because I think early on Tillery is going to have the advantage. But don't be shocked if Norman Lott takes away time from him because
and Mike Dana too in that defensive line.
Yeah, Dana as well. Dana's got to get healthy and whatnot because he was batting a lot of injuries last year.
But it'll be a fixture on this team.
But to me, like that's going to be the big battle. What happens with those guys? Because I think that other defensive tackle spot is going to be very important. Obviously, like Charles Omenihu is also going to be in the rotation for that three technique spot as well. In addition to. From the outside, they got so many options here. I probably should have put Omenihu and Ashton Gelati as well, who's going to be a guy who I think is going to rush
Omenihu's
from
on
the
that,
inside
he's
as well.
On that, he's one of those guys too that's pissed off, wants proof.
Oh yeah, because like
he's
not happy about the contract situation.
He's not mad at the Chiefs.
He wanted a better deal than what he got,
but he got the only deal.
Yeah,
and he knows that.
He got the best deal he could get.
Yeah, I like Charles Omenihu a lot.
Me too.
But this is one of those, I'm going to go out here and prove your ass.
Yeah.
Type like, deals.
Go out there, prove it, see if you can sneak in a decent little 3-year deal.
Can he get the double-digit sacks? He's got that ability.
If he can stay healthy, I think he has the ability to get double-digit
sacks. Gelati's going to push for playing time, too. The guy led in the college football and pressures last year at Louisville. So, yeah, I'm excited about what they got.
There's two spots on the D-line there's going to be a lot of competition
in. There's going to be a lot of rotation.
Yeah, I think so, too.
These guys will all get snaps.
And I'm really excited to see what the D-line does.
Yeah.
Outside of the receiving corps, that's probably the side of the ball. That's probably the position group I'm most excited to see just because I think they could be real special this year. Finally, cornerback position there. We obviously know Trent is kind of defined in his role. He's going to be outside in two receiver sets, inside when they run 3+. But the question is, who are going to be the outside corners when Trent moves inside?
Well, to bring this up, dude, Christian Fulton was like Juwan.
And he's also on the pup. He's on the pup right now.
And that was kind of a surprise. I mean, I
was surprised too.
We heard he's banged up and stuff like that. But this was a big free agent addition because this was going to allow McDuffie to move back to the inside. I think the one to watch here is Noel Williams. With Fulton.
And your guy?
Fulton's here for a reason.
Your guy?
But if he's not healthy, and we don't know. I mean, again, he could be healthy by the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
We don't know. If he's not, and it slingers, look for Noel Williams. And I mean, there's a reason why Noel Williams, who led the NCAA in interceptions last year, who picked off Cam Ward, he's valid.
I'm going to pencil in Jalen Watson for sure. He's on a contract year. I think he's going to be highly motivated to go out there and prove that he deserves to get a good
chip
contract.
On ourselves. Seventh round picks do, man.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's trying to get paid by whoever. I don't think the Chiefs are going to pay him. So I think he's going to be motivated to go out there and put the best tape he possibly can out there for other teams to look at. So I think for sure Jalen Watson's locked in for one of those spots.
Watts Island.
But I think Fulton, I think Noel Williams, I think Josh Williams are going to be in the mix for that other outside corner spot because Josh Williams is also in a contract year. Yep. I don't think he's going to be back unless it's a 1-year deal for no money. So I think that you're going to see them going out and trying to compete for that other spot. And I think that's actually going to be really good for the Chiefs because I think it's going to be an iron sharpens iron type situation, especially with this young receiving core the Chiefs got. Those guys are going to be tested in camp. I think the cornerback battle is going to be very, very underrated.
Because Fulton's hamstring and knee is that's been an issue.
Right, and that was the reason why he didn't get a big money deal when he hit free agency. Really, I mean, effectively, the Chiefs can get out of it after a year. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think this is going to be a very, very nice situation for the Chiefs because if Noel Williams can win the other outside starting cornerback position, you're feeling really good about your cornerback situation.
The pass rush will be better, which will make this
yeah, it'll make the secondary better too. So,
agree.
Well, that's it for our camp battles.
Let's watch it and we'll get
very,
ready.
Very excited. Going to be paying attention. Practice starts Tuesday, tomorrow, day after we are recording this. So,
and we'll get ready for some prospects too. Yeah. Don't you worry.
Yeah,
we're football on the 23rd.
Putting together the watch list right now, putting some finished touches on
it. We want to see these rookies ball.
Yeah, I want to see what these young guys in the Chiefs camp do. So I'm really excited. Football is about to be back. Hall of Fame game is next Thursday.
I know.
And then the enshrinement ceremony will be that Saturday. So
and here's the thing about Hall of Fame games, because I'll admit it, I've been a sucker for them because I've been wanting football so bad.
Yeah.
But once it comes on,
it's not good.
It has gone from at least the starters playing a series or two
to nothing.
Not even dressing, man.
It's the third stringers.
Yeah, not
the whole
even
game.
Dressing.
Third and fourth stringers the whole game.
A couple years ago, they didn't even play because Tom Benson brought in turf from New Orleans.
Yeah.
They were sticking their cleats and everything.
Right,
they didn't play.
Yeah.
But this is actually, these teams, they have a fourth preseason game if you're playing the Hall of Fame game, and they shut down preseason 4-3. Well, now you're saying, hey, you're one of the lucky winners. You get 4 games. The guy's like, yeah, no. And they still play 3. So
yeah, no, like I said, you're not going to see any of the starters in the game next Thursday, but still, it's good. It's good that football's back.
UFL, watch some scout. CFL scout.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what this is going to be is a game for future UFL players and CFL players. So, but yeah, we're getting started on the 2025 season. We are very appreciative that you are along this ride with us. We're going to give you the best coverage on the 2026 NFL draft, especially from the Chiefs' perspective, but overall as well. I'd say we're pretty good about predicting who will and won't be good at the next level. I think, you know, Will Levis, I probably like one of the guys that we were really big on, big against in the was it the 23 draft? And then unfortunately he's done for the year.
All the way back in Kansas City, we said, don't draft this
dude.
He's a turnover machine in college. Yep. Don't do it. What the hell do we know? We didn't watch. We weren't at the combine. We weren't talking to him. But what did the guys in Kansas City say? Stay the hell away from him.
Yep.
Well, they already drafted Cam Ward, right? He's done with the Titans.
Yeah, he's done. I brushed my shoulder off a little bit. I did say C.J. Stroud was that dude.
Do you see him
too, as
a Chase Daniel or anybody like that? Blaine Gabbert? I mean, this guy may not be a...
He's got arm talent. Yeah. He just doesn't have great football IQ.
I hope so, man. I'm rooting for the kid.
He might be a guy that sticks around for a little bit.
I hope so.
But, you know, I did get C.J. Stroud right. I did say he was my favorite quarterback from that 23 class.
You did. And last year I said Jaden Daniels over Caleb.
You did. That was your guy, and you were right about that.
You did. Think about this.
Hey, but watch out for Caleb this year, though.
No, I know.
Watch out for Caleb. Ben Johnson, watch out for Caleb this year.
How sad is that LSU defense that Malik Neighbors, Brian Thomas, and Jaden Daniels are the same?
Bro, they hated practice,
bro. On the same freaking team.
They hated practice. You know they hated practice.
Mizzou was Malik Neighbors and Brian Thomas and Jaden Daniels on the same freaking team.
Even what's the name?
I love Brian Thomas.
Yeah,
though.
We did. We loved him. He was great last year. Malik Neighbors too. We were really high on him.
All the LSU guys.
Man, we get a lot of these guys right. So you guys got to stick around with us and be around for the 25 season. Again, best draft coverage, best coverage of college football from the Chiefs perspective. So keep it locked in. Download, subscribe, wherever you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you listening to us. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Ocero. We'll catch you guys next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAFGiving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.